I'll be reading Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And everything I did, I showed you that we should work hard and help the weak. We must remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good job.
Up. Thank you. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Can't get any more wordy than that. Because that's where we're going to be. Let me turn this thing on. Are we on? Okay. Thank you, Logan, for reading that. More blessed to give than to receive. Some words to live by. I'm going to be giving some things away here. But before we get there, I want us to get a concept in our mind. Deuteronomy 10:14 says, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. And Psalms 24:1, this is a psalm of David, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Sometimes we have a hard time wrapping our mind around that, that God owns everything. Everything we have, quote, everything we own is God's. You go in to apply for a loan and you go down there and says, do you own your home? I always check yes. I don't own my home. God owns my home. We drive around these cars that we think are ours. They're God's. We as a people have to come to the realization that all these things are God's. God is in control. After we're gone, God is still going to take care of the things that He has provided on this earth. And I want us to have that concept. I want us to live knowing that and remembering that. Oh. Can everybody see these? These are Skittles. I particularly like the green ones. Man, these are good. There's all kinds of green ones in here too. See? Makes my mouth water. These are so good. And there's 54 ounces of these things. I know if I eat all these things, I'm going to get sick. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to share. Does anybody in here like Skittles? Well, I got 610 hands out there. Now, if I pass this bag around, I don't know how this is going to work. I hadn't thought this thing out. I want to share my Skittles with you guys, but I wanted to do it in a way that you'll still listen to the lesson instead of eating Skittles. So how am I going to do that? Start on this side. Could I have a responsible person to help me share Skittles? Kyle, are you a responsible person? Would you share my Skittles with everybody, Kyle? If they raise their hand, would you share a Skittle with them?
Sure.
And you can have a couple yourself. Just don't take the green ones. Man, those are good. I probably won't be able to talk now. Carol Timer. How about I pick some pears for you last night? You said you wanted some pears. Now, I think you got to let them sit for a little bit and ripe, okay? But they're starting to turn.
Thank you.
So you can have some pears. I was talking the other night at VBS about bacon and tomato sandwiches. This is the time for bacon and tomato sandwiches. And you know, I shouldn't be talking about food before I preach, right? Kirk, are you getting all the food ready? These guys are going to be hungry by the time we're done. Nancy Little, I says he doesn't have a place to plant a tomato plant. Let's see. You remember about 10, 12 years ago, Ward, we went down to a lake called Palo, and we were catching bluegills right and left. It was on that right there. That's yours.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Now we just got to find a time to get together and go catch some more, don't we? Candace, you're a newlywed. And I've got a... This thing could be just about anything you want it to be, okay? It could be a creamer. It could be a gravy boat. It could be... Brian's water jug, I guess. It's got a little pine cone on it. It is an antique. It says Made in USA. It's either Hull or McCoy. Okay? If anybody's a real antique specialist, maybe you could help her out with what this is. I'm going to give that to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Luke chapter 16, verses, we're going to end up through 13 when we get done. And on Sunday mornings, I'm teaching parables to the high school and junior high class. Some of them I struggle with. This is one I struggled with. Understanding everything that Jesus was trying to teach in this. And I, normally when I struggle with something, I just read through it and then keep going, you know. I deal with easier passages like it's more blessed to give than to receive, or the parable of the lost coins or the lost sheep, something easy. But I decided to try to work through this. The bottom line is found in verse 13. The answer to everything that Jesus is saying here comes in verse 13, where he indicates that no servant can serve two masters. For he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And in the Greek, mammon means riches. And that's the bottom line. Jesus says you cannot serve two masters, you cannot serve God and riches. And that's where we're going to go today. Now, let's look at the parable, verses 1 through 8. Now, he was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes. And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. Let's look at a couple of points. The manager was using the master's possessions to gain favor with men. He forgave some of the debt that the master's debtors owed. He specifically is doing this with his master's possessions to gain favor with them for when he was out of a job so that he could have some place to stay. The master called the manager shrewd. Jesus says in verse 8 that the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. The manager was using the master's possessions to gain favor so that eventually he could have some place to stay. Have you ever known somebody who could, quote, work the system? They know how to work the system. And I'm not trying to pick on politicians, but I'm going to pick on politicians for a minute because they fit the bill of this story. They use taxpayers' money to gain favor for themselves. You know, they go and spend taxpayers' money on a bridge or whatever type of thing that will be beneficial to make them look good in the eyes of the voter in the area that they're voting for, right? But it's not their money, but they're gaining favor from that, right? And that's kind of what this manager was doing. He says to the sons of light, make friends for yourself by means of mammon of unrighteousness. Have you ever re-gifted something? You know, that's kind of a term now. You re-gift something, you get something, you read in Dear Abby and say, hey man, I got this, can I see your picture a second, Candace? Do you still have that? I got this picture from a preacher. It's got a pine cone on it. This is made in America. I really don't know what to do with it. What can I do with it? Can I re-gift that? And yes, Candace, you can re-gift that if you want to. Let me tell you a story about one of my re-gifting. I learned that I probably won't re-gift in the future. And maybe you've heard the story because I've told it before. I carry mail. And during Christmas, a lot of times I get cards and candy and stuff from some of my patrons. And one year I got a little orange ball with chocolate around it. It's kind of like a chocolate orange ball. And you can slice it like an orange. It peels like an orange. And I really don't like those things. However, my wife likes those things, okay? So I'm thinking to myself, I'll give this to Sandy. And I gave it to Sandy. It was in her stocking, and she pulls it out. She looks at it. Oh, it's a chocolate orange ball. She turns it over and says, Merry Christmas to the mailman. I hadn't realized that was on there. Okay? The concept here is, best I see it, remember, God has everything. God owns everything. God is in control of everything, and He has allowed us to use these things. He's saying to gain favor with people by the things that we have, whether it's using our vehicles, our homes, we open our homes up to people, whether we give them food, whatever it is that we own, gain favor with people. And Jesus says, why do we do that? So that when these things fail, and the material things of this world are going to fail us eventually, we will be received in the heavenly dwellings. That's in verse 9, he says that. I'll read it. And I say to you, make friends of yourselves by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. I kept going over that in my mind. And this is the best analogy that I can come up with, or best thought I can come up with. And I don't know if this is right or not. This is, like I said, this is some passages that I struggled with. And so if you have a better understanding of that, you're more than welcome to come help me out with that. By using the things that God has given us and giving it to other people, it sheds a favorable light on us. For instance, last week when it was about 110 degrees, heat index, there were people that came out with bottled water for me. It's just a bottle of water, okay? It's not a real expensive thing. But I sure looked favorably on that person that gave me that bottle of water. I looked, they rose in my eyes, okay? And when we do that, if we, as God's children, do that, that same effect is going to take place. If we are giving, it's kind of something that people aren't used to, or it's not the norm, being a very giving person. And we rise in their eyes. And it's not to build ourselves up, but it's to give us the ability to show them who Christ is by the actions that we take. Does that make sense? The second point is that it gives us a heart that we don't cling on to the material things. Nancy, you know what? The tomatoes I gave you were the nicest of the bunch. The roundest, the bestest, they'll make the nicest bacon and tomatoes. I got the one that's got the little fingers sticking out and they're shaped like a football. Okay? I say that because, where was I going with this, David? We talked about first fruits. You know, oh, the heart. That's what it is, the heart. God tells us to give the first fruits. That wasn't the first tomato, by the way. I had already ate the first tomato. But you know how it is when you got your tomatoes out there and one's just starting to turn ripe and you're kind of salivating because you're waiting for a bacon and tomato sandwich. And the first one's always the best one. Or sweet corn. You can use this with any kind of fruit or vegetable. God says, that's the one I want. And for us to have that ability to say, yeah, you can have the first tomato. That would be tough, right? That's the kind of heart that God wants us to have. He doesn't want us to be clinging to the material stuff that we have. If we can give that up, that's the heart He wants. Because when we cling to it, then we're serving material things instead of God. I've used this analogy quite a bit also, and forgive me if it's so repetitive that you're tired of hearing it, but somebody may have not have heard it. That an auctioneer can sell 80 years worth of accumulation in about 6 hours. That's about what it takes to get rid of a lifetime's worth of accumulation. So if you trust in the things that you have, your cars, your homes, your collections, your IRAs, your Social Security, guns. Side note from the message you brought the other night. Now, these things are going to fail you. Jesus says to use these things to gain friends so that when it fails you, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. By using riches to gain favor with men, we will be received into the eternal dwellings. Okay, Jesus goes on to say that he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful in much. And likewise, unrighteous in a very little thing, unrighteous in much. Now, some of us are farmers. Growing up on a farm, say I've got an 8-year-old boy. I'm a farmer and I've got an 8-year-old boy. You give the young fella a little bit of responsibility. Go out and feed the chickens, go out and gather the eggs, something, a task that they could do. You don't say, I think I'll stay inside, son, go plant the back 40, you know, if he's an 8-year-old boy that's never done any of that. You don't give that much responsibility to them. You give them a small responsibility and then see how they do. And if you can't feed the chickens, you're not ever going to turn over the whole farm to him, right? And that's kind of an analogy what I think Jesus is saying here. Is he's giving us things, and depending on how we use them, depends on if we can be trusted with more things, the spiritual things. If we cannot be trusted in a little thing, how can we be trusted in the things that are more important? He says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? Okay, let's read Luke chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. If you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. And I want to say to you that in this country we live in, wealth is one of the things that is highly esteemed in men's eyes. And I believe that if we don't use that wealth that God has provided us with the way God wants us to, that it is detestable in His sight. I Well, that's basically the lesson, folks. That's pretty simple. And hopefully, we can have a heart that doesn't hang on to the things of this world, that we can be giving, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you have any prayer requests, or if you want to be baptized into the Lord, you can have that opportunity as we stand and sing 480.